May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, this gospel, and it's the last Sunday of Epiphany, but it tells us even more about Jesus' authority and the glory of God that is shown through him. And it also teaches us the lessons of the gospel, that we're to listen to Jesus, we're to follow Jesus, and we're to imitate him. What's interesting is Epiphany begins with Jesus as God's beloved Son. And then, well, that's the first line in the collect. I really like this collect. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the mountain. And then at the end where it says, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness. That's our goal. That's what transfiguration is all about. We're to be transformed too. We're supposed to be changed also into his likeness, our Lord's likeness. Now the transfiguration, Luke has it at 8 days, Mark has it at 6 days. Some say it happened on Mount Tabor, some say it happened on Mount Hermon, but it really doesn't matter when it happened or where it happened. What matters is that it happened, and what we learn from it, and what we apply in our lives, and in how we behave after we're transformed as well. And it's really interesting because it talks about the clothes, how they were glistening. That no bleach could get clothes so white on earth. So it was mysterious. It was filled with mystery and awe that day. And then the cloud, back in the Old Testament times and the New Testament times, that equaled the presence of God for them. What a mystery. Now we also know that the transfiguration helped both Jesus and the disciples. For Jesus, let's think about that. He knew where he was going. He was going to Jerusalem, and he told them. He knew that he was going to be crucified. He knew that he was going to be rejected. I can't imagine the stress and the strain and the grief he had, because he is the Lord God. He is the Savior. What love that shows us. And for me, it might seem sentimental, but you know, what Valentine's Day gift. We always see the hearts, and it's supposed to be filled with love for friends and family. This love that Jesus had just surpasses that 1,000-fold. But it not only helped Jesus, because he had reaffirmation and he was confirmed that he was going on the right path, a very scary and dangerous but loving path, it helped the disciples. They were confused. They were scared. They were grieving because he had told them he was going to die. It ripped their hearts out of them. They were totally afraid and overwhelmed. Well, this day for James and John and Peter, this gave them strength. They had confirmation from God Almighty that they were on the right path by following Jesus, because Jesus is the Messiah. So here we have, again, Jesus taking with him Peter and James and John, and they went up high on a mountain, apart by themselves. Yes, we come and gather for prayer, but there are times in the day, or times in our week, times in our life, when we need time apart where there is no distraction. And Jesus knew the necessity of being with God one-on-one, and knew it would help his disciples. So what happens next? Elijah appears and Moses. Well, we know that Moses was the lawgiver, the top lawgiver. And we know that Elijah was the, let's say, first among prophets. And that's when he was transfigured, his face shone, his clothes shone. What an experience they must have had on that Epiphany day. So next, Peter, always being first to speak, says, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here." And that is true. But here it comes. "Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Well, we learn that Jesus is first and foremost. He was scared. What did it say? He did not know what to say. Well, I can't imagine. I probably would not have even come up with that. He didn't know what to say, and that was a first for him. So what happens next? They learn what is most important, which is Jesus Christ. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified, and a cloud overshadowed them. And they heard the voice of God that said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Well, suddenly when they looked around, there was no cloud, and there was nobody there anymore except for Jesus. Jesus is first and foremost. Elijah and Moses are not equal to Jesus Christ. Good and great men, but not the Son of God, not the Beloved, not the Messiah. So then he tells them, "Don't tell anybody about this until later." This particular moment really begins his journey to Jerusalem. It begins his journey to the cross. They've been reaffirmed, they've been confirmed, they know, all of them, especially Jesus, that this is the right path. But he tells them, "Don't tell anyone yet." Jesus knew his ministry was being rejected. He knew he would be crucified. But now he and the disciples were prepared, and especially the disciples needed to be prepared for what was to come. Seeing Jesus transform the light and the brightness that shone in his clothes and his face was the glory of God. That gave them peace. It gave them direction. It gave them confirmation. That was an awesome day. It was truly an awe-filled experience. What I'd like to end with is what St. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. It's kind of like our challenge, not only our Epiphany challenge, but our Lent challenge, our life challenge. "If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers." We can ask ourselves, what occasionally might blind us from imitating Jesus? What are the little g? What are the little gods that distract us? What blinds us sometimes day to day? Sometimes money, worries, jobs, sometimes friends and family, sometimes possessions, sometimes clothes, sometimes entertainment. There's many things that can distract us away from God. That is why Jesus always took time to go apart, to be alone, to have the privacy, to have the union in a strong and powerful way with God, resting in God's arms, relaxing, listening to God, talking to God, hearing God, and then the tough part, obeying God. We are to be transformed, just like Jesus, and just like the disciples. We are to be changed inside and out. We are to imitate the Lord and keep His will always first and foremost. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just ask that in our hearts, our minds, our souls, that we can hear you talking to us each and every moment of each and every day. Fill our hearts with the love of Christ, being willing to give up his life, being willing to risk, and being like the disciples who risk as well. We ask that you just fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, but we ask that you activate it, let help us to really use the power of God. Use your power. And also just learn how to love you as much as you love us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.